this is Ryan from The Thing You're Currently Watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for Fan4Stick that I made several years ago. And then if you like, you can stick around after, because I will talk about it. While you're doing that, I will draw the thing.
So you have that new Fantastic Four script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Great, so one of the main criticisms of the older Fantastic Four movies was that they were kind of silly and campy.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's why this one's not going to be funny at all, or even amusing, for that matter.
Great.
Yeah, and it's going to take itself very, very seriously.
That sounds perfect.
Now, I just want to double check with you. You mentioned that your focus groups found that what people want in superhero movies is
a lot of setup and exposition,
as opposed to action and the characters actually using powers.
Exactly. We actually found that people want a lot less of all that cool stuff.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to be sure.
I mean, unless I read the results backwards. I do that sometimes. What?
It's just that doo-doo.
Oh my god, did I say doo-doo?
You said doo-doo.
I didn't even realize. I mean, that's why we pay you a bunch of money, right? You're good with the words?
Yeah, I'm good at word stuff.
You are. So tell me about the script.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, it's mostly set up and exposition.
Perfect.
So we start with Reed Richards as a kid.
Oh, going way back. What do we establish there?
Basically that he is smart and has a friend named Ben.
Do we really have to show him as a child to explain that?
Yeah, well, it's an origin story, so we have to have them as kids.
Do we?
Well, they did it in Batman Begins.
Oh, that's a good movie. Okay, I'm sold.
So when he's a kid, he builds stuff in his garage with technology from the time. So like Nintendo 64s. He has this big old clunky computer like people used back then.
So this takes place in the 90s.
2007.
Oh.
So him and his friend Ben work on an interdimensional travel machine every day for 7 years.
And you're sure we have to show them as kids? Because that's like a whole set of actors we have to hire.
Origin story. Our hands are tied.
Okay.
So anyway, at a high school science fair, they present this device they made that can make objects disappear and reappear.
Wow, people must be amazed.
Literally nobody is, and their teacher fails them.
Why?
He assumes it's magic.
He just fails them without looking into magic further?
Exactly. But a scientist from like a secret organization sees it, and he thinks it's cool.
What's a scientist from a secret organization doing at a high school science fair?
We're not gonna really explain that. He's just there.
Fair enough.
So the scientist and his adopted daughter, Sue, offer Reed a full scholarship to this institute, or maybe it's a school. It's not gonna be really clear. Like, Reed's not gonna study.
What about Ben?
What about Ben?
You said he's been working with Reed every day for 7 years on this device. Doesn't he get a scholarship?
No, well, he's the muscle.
Okay, but working on it for so long, he must have a really intimate understanding of how—
He's the muscle.
Right, but he must have a lot of knowledge.
He's got a lot of muscle.
Okay, so he doesn't go.
No, and then the science guy manipulates his own son Johnny into working at the school too.
He manipulates him.
Yeah, he takes his car away and he's like, if you want your car back, you need to come do science with Papa.
And what's Johnny's deal? Like, why do they need him at the institute? Is he super smart?
We mentioned that he assembled a car.
Haven't a lot of people done that, like as a hobby?
Probably.
So what makes him so special that he gets to work there?
It's mostly nepotism.
Mostly nepotism, okay, that's what I thought.
So anyway, then they all work with a cynical guy named Victor Von Doom on a giant version of the interdimensional travel thing.
What's that process like?
It's gonna be like a really, really long montage with some technical jargon thrown in.
How long are we talking?
Longer than you'd think, and then suddenly out of nowhere it's done and they send a monkey to an alternate dimension.
And it goes wrong?
Nope, goes perfectly fine first try.
Wow, no conflicts.
No, and so then the government's like, let's contact NASA and get some astronauts.
Makes sense.
It does, but the main characters don't agree with that plan.
Why?
Well, they want to go themselves so they can be famous.
That's their reason?
Yeah, so they get drunk and they go.
They go? The government has a new device to travel through dimensions and they don't put any extra security?
Apparently not. Reed even calls Ben to tag along.
Oh, Ben, he's still in this movie?
Now he is. We're gonna leave him out of it for like a really long time.
Interesting.
So then they're in this other dimension and they immediately touch some green stuff and everything explodes and Victor falls into it.
Wow.
Yeah, and Johnny's pod fills up with fire so he gets fire powers, and Ben's pod fills up with rocks so he gets rock powers, and then Reed and Sue get other powers.
Their powers aren't related to how the accident happened?
No, not really.
Okay, so now everybody has powers.
Yeah, and so this is when stuff's gonna start getting really intense, see—
Wait, gotta stop you. How much time are we at?
Like, in terms of runtime?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, an hour and a half?
And what's this next part of the movie about?
Well, it'd be them adapting to their new powers and all the craziness that goes with that.
Okay, I think we're gonna have to cut that out.
Oh, how come?
I feel like it's going on for too long, and also we don't want to have them use their powers too much.
Right, the focus group.
Exactly. So would it be super complicated to modify your script to kind of just jump to the end?
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, I'll cut out about an hour of stuff, and we'll put a title on the screen that says 1 year later.
Great. So how does it end?
Well, they're gonna rebuild the portal thing and bring back Victor.
Oh, he didn't die?
Apparently not. So they bring him to the Institute, and he's like, I don't like it here. Let me go back.
Oh.
And they say no, so he kills all the people.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's crazy powerful now. Like, he pops people's heads open and he busts open walls with his mind.
So they let him go back to the other world?
No, they try to stop him because... I don't know why they stop him, but they try to stop him.
Wow.
Yeah, but he goes back anyway, and by doing so, he, creates a black hole.
How does that happen?
I don't know, science. So then the Fantastic Four go to the dimension to fight him.
Why doesn't he just pop their heads like everyone else?
I don't know, he decides to not use those moves on them or something.
That's convenient.
Very convenient. So they take turns punching him and it doesn't really work.
Oh no.
So they regroup and they're like, we need to work together now.
Wow.
And so they kind of take turns punching him and it works now.
And that's it?
Yeah, they punch him into an energy thing and he like disintegrates and then that's it.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, it's a ton of setup paid off by very little action, so according to our focus groups, we got a hit. And what's awesome is that if we really do have a hit, we'll be able to keep these characters out of Marvel's hands for, like, a really long time.
Fantastic.
There you have it. That is the thing that is growing on my back and screams for me to kill it. Some people pointed out to me that in my past couple of revisited episodes, my microphone was just completely backwards. So I want to say thank you. And I want to say, hey, look, I can't be expected to know basic things. All right. So that was the pitch meeting for Fanforestick. That was the 9th pitch meeting I ever made. That is a calmer, thinner me talking to a calmer, thinner me. That's right. I've seen the comments pointing out the fact that I've gained a few pounds over the past couple of years. And you know what? What I bet you didn't know is that I have a medical condition. It's a pretty serious thing where I enjoy the taste of chocolate and then eat it. Bet you feel pretty bad about bringing that up now. Comment. People. I thought that maybe I'd try something a little different for this revisited episode. I'm often saying in these things that, you know, my delivery on the older ones is a bit slower. I would have sped things up. So I actually went back into my Google Docs and found the script that I wrote for this pitch meeting way back in the day. We're talking mid-2010s. And I thought maybe for today's revisited, I would just quickly go through a couple of things and find some spots that I would trim today to put some words to the words. Now, I have to warn you, in terms of entertainment level, what you're about to witness, a writer editing a Google Doc, this is right up there with, you know, white noise soundtracks that help people sleep. So here goes that. Will it be interesting? No. Here it is, folks, the Google Doc. Just as a side note, this is how I write my scripts when I'm just recording by myself, because when I'm recording, I'm reading off my phone, and this just makes it easier for me. But when I'm collaborating with other people, then I do, like, more standard formatting, because that's universal and everybody can understand that. That's just a little tidbit. So here's something. I would say that this section is... trimmable. I still like the idea of producer guy misunderstanding a focus group and completely sabotaging a movie because of his misunderstanding. I think I'm just doing that thing where I drive it home past the point where, you know, everyone has already gotten it. You could take all that out and it means exactly the same thing. That too. You don't need all that. Then I would also cut this out because I've already said that. Why do I need to say it twice? Answer, I do not. This highlighted section I think works as is, although if I was shooting it today, I would go about it differently. Probably just be like, they had a kid version of Bruce Wayne in Batman Begins, and then producer guy would be like, that's a good movie. I'm sold. This year thing feels a little nitpicky. I would just take it out. This connects to that other line about it being 2007, so that goes too. This is just reiterating the thing I already said earlier. That goes. By pitch meeting number 9, I don't think I had, like, unclear yet in my arsenal, so that would definitely just be unclear. This is a big chunk of text, and I usually try to limit my stuff to 2 lines just for my own sake, because the longer the thing, the more takes I usually have to do, because... it's a lot of words to remember, and my brain be tiny, y'all. So what I would do here is actually have producer guy jump in. Oh, it's a school? Maybe. Aren't any classes. And what about Ben? I like this doubling and tripling down of just Ben has muscle. Producer guy's fishing for more information. It just doesn't exist. So that's just a little idea of things that I would change. If you like this, let me know. Maybe this is something I could do in future revisited. Or was this really boring? This might have been really boring. Another angle I could have totally just approached this entire pitch meeting, it would be leaning into the studio interference that kind of famously happened on this movie. I don't know all the details, but this movie was chopped up and reshot with famously bad wigs for the reshoots. So an alternate angle for this pitch meeting could have been the writer presenting decent sounding ideas and the producer just chopping them down. This movie came out in 2015, so, you know, they're working on it for a few years before that. And it kind of feels like the studio executives and producers wanted this to be like Marvel, but gritty, you know, trying to do like a Batman Begins, Dark Knight, gritty reboot thing and have an alternative. Maybe you'd have like the kind of brighter Marvel movies at Marvel Studios, and then Fox could make their Marvel movies with the characters that they still owned, but have them be dark, and that would be like another offering. And that just missed the mark on all accounts. It commits the worst sin that you can when you are a superhero movie, and it's boring. I'm very tired of the overly CGI energy beam fights of the MCU, but I still would take that over watching grumpy people do science in the dark for 90 minutes. All right, question time. Did you ever decide to start a new and otherwise finished pitch meeting upon seeing the final product and just not being happy with how it turned out? It's never gotten to that point because I do know pretty quickly if a pitch meeting is going to work or not. I may have mentioned in another one of these videos that when I'm writing these things, I try to come up with like 25 to 50 jokes or just points I'd like to make that I think I can frame in a funny way. If that list is too short or I can't frame the points in a funny way, I just don't do the pitch meeting. So I've never like fully shot one and then been like, nah, I know when it's bad and I don't do it. Shave your chest. Never. Hey, Ryan, kind words. Question. Is English or French your first language, or did you kind of just grow up speaking both? And do you speak any others? I grew up in an English-speaking home, but my parents sent me to French school, so I spent my entire elementary and high school speaking French at school and then speaking English at home. I did 3 years of Spanish. I can understand, not really speak. I did one semester of Italian in university, which blended in with the 3 years of Spanish and erased two of them because I get them confused when I'm searching for the words in my brain. And that is my linguistical journey. What's your take on all these YouTubers quitting all of a sudden, and have you ever thought of an exit strategy for yourself? I guess my take is that I totally understand and respect the decision. Those of us who have been able to make a career out of making YouTube videos are extremely fortunate. And it's also a ton of work, and the work never ends, and that can lead to burnout. I've been there a couple of times before. You can burn out doing something you love, even though you're lucky to be doing it. Those two things can be true at the same time. It can happen on bigger channels that creators started because they loved doing something and it exploded so much that now suddenly they're running a company. I think some of the creators leaving YouTube have lost touch with that joy that made them start in the first place, and others have pretty much accomplished everything they set out to accomplish on the platform, and so they want to move on to but other things. I was going to say bigger and better, but just other things is fine. It doesn't always have to be bigger and better. I personally don't really have an exit strategy planned. I guess the dream scenario would be that I get excited about a different project so much that I need to dive into it. But for now, this is still what brings me the most joy, so I'm going to keep doing it until that's no longer the case, I guess. Shave your chest. I already said no. Thanks for watching. Please send me questions.